I was your age. You know that phrase can be the start of another of your grandfather's story about how easy we all have it now and how little we all know. Thing is, he's probably right. At least writer Aaron Breed agrees with him and has written a book gathering some of the knowledge that men of the so-called greatest generation had that's being lost. Her book, How to Build a Fire and Other Handy Things Your Grandfather Do, follows up on her previous book about grandmother's knowledge called How to Sew a Button. She's here now to share some of that know-how with us. Welcome back, Aaron.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we can take some quick calls on this, on what your grandfather taught you that you plan to pass on to your children or grandchildren. We're not talking so much values here. We're talking about skills, things you can do. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Aaron, was there something you learned from your own grandfather that helped inspire this?
Well, you know, my own grandfather, he was a man of few words, so I didn't, you know, he didn't pass on so many lessons. You know, I didn't sit on his knee and have him dispense wisdom. But he did teach me how to play the guitar, which I'll never forget. And my other favorite memory of my own grandfather is he was bald as a cue ball and he would let me shine his head. I don't know how that served me in life.
We used to learn how to play the guitar and now we learn how to play garage band.
Right, exactly.
You interviewed 10 grandfathers who had lived through the Depression and mm-hmm. World War II. Mm-hmm. They range from a pro baseball player to a Tuskegee Airman to an immigrant from Colombia who came to West New York. Did they have something in common?
Yes. The first thing I noticed that they all had in common was when I called them, I was introduced to some of them through their children or grandchildren, and some of them I sought out. And when I called them and said, I need your help, I need your advice, without hesitation, every one of them said, fine, what do you need from me? What can I do to help? Without knowing who I was or expecting anything at all in return, they each did what they were literally called upon to do. And that taught me a lot. I think, you know, they were willing to help other people, you know, who needed help. And I think that's one of the things that makes the greatest generation so great.
And really, in this book, there are physical things like how to build a fire, but you also include how to be brave and how to bounce back after failure. Mm-hmm. And these aren't the tangible tips that maybe people would expect from this book based on the title. But do you think that we've forgotten how to be spiritually competent as well as handy?
I think we need to stop for a moment and think about it. And I think these guys have had plenty of time to think about it. One story that comes to mind came from Buck Buchanan, who was a cotton farmer and shrimp boater in Texas. And he was talking about all of the ventures in his life that have been not quite successes. And I said, well, how did you persevere? How did you get through it? And he said, well, when I was a boy, I used to have to saw wood to heat the house, and I hated this task. It took me forever. It was grueling, and I said, how did you get through it? He said, I grit my teeth, I bow my head, and I sawed wood. And for the rest of my life, whenever I faced hard times, I told myself, just grit my teeth, bow my head, and saw wood.
Remember the Judd song, Grandpa Tell Me About the Good Old Days? Focused on lasting marriages and fathers who stuck around. Did you get a lot of advice along those lines?
I got a lot of advice on love. Yeah, these guys were real romantics. Joe Toth, who's an 88-year-old electrician in Pennsylvania, he met his wife before he shipped off to World War II. And his wife was actually dating one of his best friends. And he said, if you screw up with Frances, she's mine. And his friend did screw up. And he got her, and he wrote her love letters throughout the whole war. And he said, you know, he wanted to make them really good, so he had a book of quotations, and he'd page through, and he found one that meant something to him, and then he'd expand upon it in the letter. And he said what really won her heart was he signed his letters, loves ya, you're JoJo.
Daniel in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. You got something from your grandfather?
Yes. My grandfather, who obviously grew up during the Depression, he was a cabinet maker with his father, and he would say to me as a young man, measure twice, cut once. And it's the most appropriate advice for construction or otherwise.
Or otherwise. Measure twice, cut once. That is good advice. Words to live by. Daniel, thank you. I'm guessing, Aaron, that the recession has made us more receptive to this kind of knowledge. Did any of the grandfathers say you know, you weren't the first to come asking for guidance in the last 2 years?
You know, it was funny, actually. When I called them, they were so willing to talk. It was almost as if they'd been waiting by the phone for somebody to call them and tell them they wanted to write a book about them and they needed their help. It's almost as if they'd been waiting their whole lives to open up about these stories. And I think that's something that's really important. I mean, sure, our grandfathers probably can't program our iPods or play Xbox, but it doesn't mean they don't have knowledge that we can't use. And it's just about sitting down and taking the time and asking them the questions.
Erin Breed, my guest on WNYC, B-R-I-E-D, author of How to Build a Fire and Other Handy Things Your Grandfather Knew. Do you think anyone grandfather knows how to do all the things in this book, from hanging drywall to waxing a mustache to writing a love letter and tying a necktie four ways? Did you interview James Bond?
They seemed like James Bond to me, I have to say.
Hildegard in Far Hills, you're on WNYC. Hello, Hildegard.
Oh, good morning. I was calling to address sort of the practical skills that the generation of men in their 80s and early 90s were able to pass down to their children and grandchildren. And I think that's an area that is really lacking in sort of the age group and of adult men right now that are parenting younger children. Things like basic construction, basic electricity, understanding weather, identifying local trees, very sort of a practical outlook on everyday life with and the community in which you live and how there are so many components that influence us. And it seems mm-hmm. like younger generations simply focus on immediate sort of their immediate interests, and they don't really have the experience that men of that generation had.
Yes, and I wonder, Hildegard, thank you, and I wonder if you heard that a lot, Erin, mm. and if, I don't know, maybe that's just something that people of many generations think as they get older, that, you know, when you're 19 years old, you're living for the moment, you're impulsive, and
right.
when you get to be, you know, 75, you think, easy does it. Take the long view.
I'm sure, but I think also on top of that, I mean, we have been living in sort of flush economic times for most of my life, most of your life. And for the first time, we've fallen on these really hard times. And we find ourselves, you know, unable to do basic things. You know, we want to order our dinner out rather than cook it in. We want to hire a contractor to, you know, paint our walls when we can do it ourselves. I think the recession has really made learning these skills a lot more important now.
So we've been asking our listeners on our Facebook page to weigh in with things their grandfathers taught them. Matthew writes, not to smoke cigars. But you do include how to smoke a pipe in this book, don't
yeah.
you?
Buck Buchanan told me about that. He said the best time to smoke a pipe is when somebody asks you a question that maybe you don't know the answer to. You just sit back, you light your pipe, you think about it a little bit, and that'll make you look really smart.
Marianne wrote how to make red wine. Stanley wrote marbles. Samara, it is what it is. Rebecca, if you really want to get a good deal, you have to be willing to walk away. Ruthie, that he invented the chocolate-covered frozen banana. It was true. And the other, how to eat peas with a knife.
Wow.
You have quirky ones like that
in
the book?
That's a skill I'd like to learn. There are a few quirky ones. There's how to play harmonica. I learned that from Philip Spooner, who grew up on a farm in Maine and used to play in a band with a piano player and a fiddle player. There's how to make root beer, how to make homemade ice cream.
I saw a harmonica in the toy section of Target the other day. I couldn't believe it.
They're coming back.
And, you know, I thought, okay, I said to my wife, let's buy this and send it to our nephew for Christmas. And she said, are you kidding? It'll drive his parents crazy.
It's better than a drum set, though, right?
maybe only a little. Robert, if you drive slow, you'll see the town. Drive fast and you'll see the judge. Evan, that books matter. Pasha, remembering not to forget history. An apt quotation is as good as an original remark. And Lise, how to play pinochle, tied with how to pick out green beans at the market. Anybody play Pinochle anymore?
I don't know who plays Pinochle anymore. But a lot of the tips I learned from the grandfathers were really, really soulful. One, Frank Walter, who's 88 years old, he lives in Colorado, and he still skis every day of the season. He told me something that has been on my mind during this holiday party season. He said to, if you want to be successful in life and you want to have a lot of friends, he said, everybody in the world wears an invisible sign on their chest that says, make me feel special. And if you're able to read that sign, you'll be successful.
Ethan in Brooklyn, you're going to get our last 15 seconds. Make your grandpa feel special.
Hey, Brian, thanks. My grandpa, Joe Resnick, who's turning 102 shortly, when asked the secret of it all, he says, whatever you do, don't overdo it.
Ethan, thank you. How to Build a Fire and Other Handy Things Your Grandfather Knew by Aaron Breed, author of How to Sew a Button. Aaron, thanks again.
Thank you.
He just dressed that way. Brown necktie and a matching vest and both his wingtip shoes. He built a closet on a high back porch and put a penny in a burned out fuse. Grandpa was a carpenter, built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoked camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on the level. Shaved even every